Good, thank you for singing so well this morning. That one was, we're not quite so used to that one, but I have to tell you, it really melts me. I saw a clip of some people in a little chapel in Ukraine, and they were singing that. Will you turn in your Bibles to, for our text anyway, to Galatians and chapter 5, verse 22 and 3. And this is God's word. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Father God, we do thank you for your holy word. We understand this is the breathed out revelation that you have given for us and to us. And we ask you, Father, that we may worship you in the word today. We may see your face, we may hear your voice, we may be changed by the ministry and blessing of the Holy Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, goodness. Well, I think people in the world know all about goodness. I'm quite a good person, they will say, really. Maybe we might as well. We kind of understand what it is to be good, to do good. As I say, most people will, if they're spoken to in the street, asked about these things, they will say, well, I'm pretty good. We understand what it is to know the difference between something that's good and something that's bad or unhelpful. We talk about having a good job or a good house, a good family, whatever it is. Yeah. I can't help feeling there's also a sort of undercurrent of sneering at the idea of people who do good, which is something I've never understood. Don't we want people to do good? Or are we wanting them, actually, it's okay for them to be doing bad? There's enough doing bad, isn't there, really? You would imagine that people would say, oh, that's wonderful to see people doing good things. And this, of course, is underlining the great paradox of humanity, really, because actually we're not good. Naturally, we're not good. And yet we have a sort of innate sense and a feeling that we ought to be. We ought to be better than we are. And we, some people really long for that. Yes, you do good, don't you? And that's how you get to heaven, right? We must be very clear that the gospel, preaching the gospel, is not preaching morality. We're not going to say today, fruit of the Spirit is goodness, so we all ought to be very good, and so on. We do, but that's not what the message is. The message is that God the Holy Spirit, living and dwelling within us, creates this wonderful fruit with 9 flavors. And today we're thinking of goodness. It should be said that love, joy, and peace are about really our relationship with God. Patience, kindness, and goodness are about our interaction with other people. In fact, actually, as we were thinking in house group just briefly, These three things, patience, kindness, and goodness, they're only identified as they're realized in our connection with other people. You can't look in the mirror in the morning when you're shaving, or well, not everybody should be shaving. You understand what I mean? You'll be doing something in the mirror, won't you? If you're not actually shaving. And you can't say, well, I've got patience and kindness and goodness. That isn't the way we know we've got it, is it? We know we've got kindness, patience and goodness, that the work of God is going on in our hearts as it's witnessed with our relations with one another. That's how other people will know that more than you will, probably, won't you? And of course, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are about how we are submitted, how our own hearts are submitting to God, and having a victory over the sin that so easily besets us. So I want to think just a minute about this goodness and as a fruit of the Spirit. The first thing is that it's a fruit of the Spirit. These are qualities, if we can call them qualities, blessings, graces, some people might say. They are grown in us by our submission and obedience to God, particularly the Holy Spirit. They're grown like fruit is grown. And it's very interesting that the works of the flesh are a kind of contrast. They're things that people work at and expend energy on, and you know, they're obvious as well because they're mostly rather nasty things. The fruit of the Spirit is something that is growing, and we know not how, as the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and we absorb the Word, and we have interaction with one another, we maybe pray together, we have fellowship. These things, they're all part of how this fruit is growing in our lives, like fruit grows. In the spring, it's always good, isn't it, to see tiny little apples. When the blossom is gone, there they are, tiny little apples. And they take all the summer to grow. I've only got pear trees in the garden, and I make the same mistake every year by not taking the pears off early. You leave them on and the wasps say thank you very much and they're all gone. You get the point. It's a gradual process. It's a process that actually God can do that in a very short space of time. As we become Christians, if it's the way God deals with us and the way we're obedient to him, we might find that we can see fruit in people who are very new Christians, very quickly. But generally speaking, it's a process. And a process as we die to self every day, and as we come to Jesus and offer ourselves to him every day. of course, Jesus talks about, I am the vine and you are the branches. And he goes on to speak about the fruit, doesn't he? You know John 15, you'll know there's fruit. There's more fruit, and then there's much fruit. It comes in the text. You can look that up for homework. The point about it is that fruit grows as we are connected with Jesus and allied with him. I liked Warren Wiersbe. Fruit grows out of life. That's absolutely the thing. It's about the life of God, isn't it? The life of the Spirit. Here it is the life of the Spirit. Think of beauty, quietness, and the unfolding of life, the organic, spontaneous life that is the life of the Spirit of God. It brings fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit of God, the Spirit who brooded over the waters of creation, the Spirit who is God eternal, equal with the Father and with the Son, in unity that is eternal. These are not natural abilities. It's not about trying hard. but leaning hard on the one who desires what's best for us, for his glory. We've seen the progress, haven't we? Walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, keeping his step with the Spirit. This is supernatural. Amazing. The God of heaven living in me. That's what we sang. Supernatural, holy God, by his Spirit. Again, I like Mr. Worsby's way that he says this. There is the gift of the Spirit, which is salvation. There are the gifts, plural, of the Spirit, which are for service. You know, the list of things that God gives to the church, people doing various things. They're not for everybody. They're just for the people who are given the gift, whatever that is. But then he calls it the grace of the Spirit. It's the fruit, which is the word, so I'm going to stay with the word. The fruit of the Spirit is for every single Christian. We're not exempt. It's not a case of, well, I'm okay with the first three. No. God give us all the fruit of the Spirit, all the nine flavors of it. It's been said before, you've probably heard it, that really there it says fruit, which is like a singular word, but it means a lot. But there, some famous person said, there is only one fruit of the Spirit, and that is love, and all the rest are how love is working. That's interesting. A definition of goodness then, from William Hendrickson. Goodness is moral and spiritual excellence of every description. In the present connection, it could be especially generosity of heart and action. Luther called it the willingness to help others in need. Somebody else called it generosity. They're trying to find a word in English that matches what the Greek word was, you see. Goodness is love in action. I like that one. Leith Samuel, love's outgoing tenderness. That really works to me. Don't say that you love people if you don't have tenderness. Don't say that you've got patience and kindness with people if you're not wanting their best. Somebody said, Christian orthodoxy without compassion is the ugliest thing in the world. So Paul is emphasizing here that Christianity and our life in the Spirit is not so much about doing good as about being changed into people who, being indwelt by the Holy Spirit, therefore have a character which shows patience, kindness, and goodness. Because we're being changed into the likeness of Jesus. Because this is a picture of Jesus, isn't it? And of what he is. I remember a very old song that we don't seem to sing these things nowadays. But let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Do you know that? Who knows that? Who knows that song? Good. Yes, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wondrous compassion and purity. And I forget how the rest goes on. But you see, the Holy Spirit wants to make within us and bring to us the character and spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we be witnesses to him. So goodness, then, we must think about God, because God is good. When the Lord Jesus had somebody come to speak to him, and he said, good teacher, what must I do, you know, and so on. And Jesus says, rather surprisingly, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. And so it must be God himself who is the sort of standard of what we think about as goodness, because God is good. The very name God may even be derived in a sense from the word good. When I was a child, we had a chorus at Sunday school, God is good to me. And it had actions. So it went like this, God is good to me, see? And it was wonderful to watch 4 and 5 year old children trying to sort of get it all worked. God is good to me. God is good to me. He holds my hand and helps me stand. God is good to me. There's another verse. Although I'm small, he hears my call. God is good to me. Because God is good. And so let's look at this goodness of God. Let's explore the goodness of God. and I have, first of all, a reading from Psalm 145, which says, the Lord is good to everyone. He shows compassion on all his creation. God has a common goodness, which is towards every single person in the world. This is a quote. Every drop of rain, every star-filled night, every beautiful sunset, every bit of food, every good night's sleep, every minute of health, everything that makes life is a gift from him and represents his common goodness. Every blessing of life and joy of relationships come from a heavenly Father who is good and supremely good. We must not allow people to move away from that. God is good to every single person, to the unbelieving and the saint, to the good and to those who are yet wandering. But his goodness is, of course, personified in Jesus, who is in the goodness that God has towards us in the gospel. That's the supreme way that we know God is good. Because there may be things in life which don't seem to be good. And we think, well, how does that work out? Well, what really works is that God's goodness in sending Jesus is his supreme goodness. Because we can see that in his gift of Christ to us. And as we respond to the gospel, as we hear that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. When we read and respond to that, it becomes personal to us. And we know God is good to us. That's what that little chorus is about. And these little tiny children who were trying to get God is good to me, you know, one hopes that they would grow up and realize that they can always come to God because he is good. And he is the place to be, the one to see, and so on. I don't know whether you've noticed it, but atheist people now are becoming rather voluble and they're furious with God, the God they don't believe in. But they're furious with him because he's not good in their eyes and so on. I felt really that was because they're confusing the one that we call the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the God we believe in, with the God of this age, who is not good, who is positively evil and bad. And the world is the way it is because there is this tension. There is evil in the world, but there is the goodness of God. And we need to understand that and press on and try to believe more about it. Psalm 23, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. That's true. Whatever is going on, that's true. The Lord is good and upright in Psalm 25. Therefore, he shows sinners the way and leads the humble. You see, the goodness of God isn't just sort of like sunshine and that's it. No, he is, as the song said, pursuing us, running after us. That's the goodness of God, isn't it? Would I run to him? No, I wouldn't. He runs to me as the father runs to the prodigal son who's coming. Well, let's turn to Psalm 107, which we had a long reading from, and see some stuff about experiencing the goodness of God. Please turn to Bibles, if you can, to that. Psalm 107. Because this is a wonderful statement of the goodness of God in action. We don't just say God is good, that's it. No, God is good because of the things that we read here. And it's supremely wonderful to see this. We aren't given any information about when this was written, by whom, or what it's really supposed to be talking about. So we could spend a long time, I'm not going to, on what this means for people in the Bible in an earlier age and all that sort of thing. I turned to it and I read it, I thought, bang, this is the most glorious example of the manifold goodness of God in all its breadth and length and height and depth. And it's speaking to me, it's speaking to us today about how God is so good. And here, then, in the examples that we're given, is everybody. You are here somewhere in this word. I hope you find that, and I hope you realize that. Verses 1 to 4 call us to celebrate the goodness of God. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. You see, as I said earlier, the love of God and the goodness of God are joined together. They are the same thing. And so everything that is good from God is coming to us because he loves us. And he loves us with a love that is everlasting and so on. Because from verse 4 onwards, there are four groups of people, paragraphs. They speak about the lostness that is then turned into salvation. Begin with the love of God. Always do that. Always do that. Because the love of God is eternal. I put here, I'm not going to talk about this too much, but I put here, it's ardent goodness. Plenty of people can be good, they do the right thing and so on, but do they love the people that they're doing good to? That's the point. As Christians, we're called to love people. And so our goodness is to be ardent goodness. It's also active goodness. God's goodness is active, it's powerful, effective. His love is a love that never gives up, pursuing, and that will not let us go. Knowing that God loves you is probably the most important and the apex of your experience of walking with the Lord. It will keep you through all the vicissitudes of life. It will prevent you from wandering. It will... It will just send to you to know that God loves you. What would it be if you didn't know that, you see? You'd be like these people here. We'd look at them, all four of them, in a minute. Four paragraphs, and they're all and under these headings. They talk about wanderers who are brought home, verses 4 to 5. They talk about prisoners being released. They talk about afflicted people being relieved and seafaring people being rescued. What an amazing thing this is. I'm so glad to see this because we are going to be here somewhere in this word. If you didn't wander, then I did. Okay, I know what it is to be wandering, and the world becomes a desolate wilderness to you. You can't find the way to where you really want to go. That nothing is right, and hungry and thirsty. The world doesn't satisfy you really, because in those inner things that we need, and our spirits fail. We know something about that. Then there are people who sitting in darkness. Verse 10. And gloom, prisoners in cruel chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the counsel of the Most High. You see, we can, by our own behavior, bring ourselves into difficult places. And God actually has to deal with us. It says here, breaking spirits, stumbling, and there's no one to help. And then the third group of people are suffering affliction because of rebellion, loathing all food and coming near to death. And then finally, there's the people at sea. What an extraordinary descriptive bit of writing this is, actually. You could feel ill reading this, really, you know. It's so graphic, isn't it? I wonder if you know much about being in a boat with it in the storm at sea. A lot of people around Manning Tree worked in the merchant navy, or you know, went to the sea in ships, as the word says. And I spoke to quite a lot of them over my lifetime. Ask me at coffee, and I'll tell you a story. I'm not going to waste time now. Ask me at coffee, okay? So here are these people in a boat, and my word, it's absolutely a wonderful description about rising up and sinking down, courage melting, reeling and staggering like drunken people, and all their skill is useless. That is so real, isn't it? Sailors would tell you that no, they can be as experienced as you like, but there's a point which comes where they think we've nearly had it, you know. This talks to me about people who are storm-tossed. Life is full of storms. And it just seems difficult, doesn't it? So there's all these four different sorts of people. And they all have something in common, because they all say they cried out to the Lord. Verse 6. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he rescued them from their distress and led them by the right path. Isn't it interesting? They were looking for the path. They couldn't find the path. But when they cried to the Lord, he leads them by the right path. And people who cried out to the Lord in the second lot are brought out of darkness and gloom, and their chains are broken apart. No wonder Wesley, in his wonderful hymn, as he talks about his own experience of knowing God, out of a life of religious, very religious, my chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. And then the third lot, in verse 19, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent his word and healed them, and he rescued them from the pit. That what we need more than anything is the word, don't we? The word, if the word is a light to our path, and a light to our feet, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and it heals us. It's the word that heals you. If you're in one of these four groups of people, wandering or suffering, affliction, held in the chains of habits and difficult things, This is all very real. It's all very, very real in today's world, isn't it? And God is good to rescue people from this. He comes and he saves them in their distress. Listened to a man the other day, and he was saying, he was quoting somebody else, which I don't know who it was. It's not the word hidden in your head. It says, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. You can have all the knowledge of Scripture in your head. As the person said, you can backslide with a Bible under your arm. We need the word to heal us and rescue us from the pit. Then these people at sea, suffering the terror of storms. You can't stop the storm. It's just going to go on. Whenever is it going to stop? When are you going to get to the end of it? But they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed. They rejoiced when the waves grew quiet. He guided them to the harbor they longed for. We can remember a story in the Bible about that, can't we? Jesus being in the boat. And he is woken up and says, "Peace, be still." I don't know, I heard a sailor talk about this long, long while ago. And he said, the wind on the Sea of Galilee might well stop very, very quickly and easily. It comes up very, very quickly, and it might go away quickly. But the waves still carry on for several days. But here, they don't. They're hushed. And they were with Jesus. It became a great calm. Well, these are wonderful examples of the goodness of God. I hope you find that this is helpful to you. that we will learn how to cry out to the Lord in our distress. We will find that God is able to answer. And this is also here in these things, in this scripture. There's four times when it says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wonderful works for all humanity. You see, God wants us to respond to him. He calls us to respond to the gospel and to his goodness. Not to just wander off and whistling down the road. No, we need to give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love, because he is the one who satisfies our thirst and our hunger. He is the one who breaks down bronze gates and cuts through iron bars. He is the one who does faithful and wonderful works for humanity. Because of his faithful love and his wondrous works for all humanity. Finally, let's finish as I think about expressing goodness, expressing the goodness of God. Excuse me. Please turn back to Galatians and chapter 5 and 6. Because those being changed into the likeness of Jesus are called to express goodness to other people. It will be part of our life. And we're called to love people with a sincere and fervent heart and to be like Jesus, who went about doing good. And it seems to me that Galatians now onwards is about how life is with people who have these fruit of the Spirit. This is the outworking of that. No doubt there'll be bigger ministry about that in days to come. But what will be the sort of result of us having these fruit these flavours of this wonderful fruit, of goodness in particular today. Well, if we belong to Jesus Christ, we will crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. We won't be fired by that kind of passion. We will have a different kind of passion, which is a compassion. And living by the Spirit, keeping a step with the Spirit, we will set aside conceit and provocation and envy. And if someone is overtaken in a wrong, then we will know how to restore people with a gentle spirit, watching out for ourselves. We'll carry others' burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. And we won't be people who consider ourselves to be something when we may not be that exalted. And so we will be deceived. We will be people who examine our own work and then take pride in God and what he blesses us to do. We won't compare ourselves with other people. And if we are taught in the word, we will be anxious and want to share the word with other people. And those who are taught will be, you know, treating those who teach with goodness and love. We won't be deceived, because God isn't mocked. Whatever a person sows, he will also reap. The one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. And let us not get tired of doing good, because we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. How good is the God we adore, our faithful and unchangeable friend. His love is as great as his power and knows neither measure nor end. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Please write in our hearts that which is profitable, and remove from our memory that which is against your will and purpose for us as a people and as individuals. Grow in us, Lord, these wonderful flavours, that we might show forth the Lord Jesus. We might be people who bear the fragrance of Christ in a world that is so needy. And Lord, we look not in judgment upon anybody, but we look, our Father, to you, that you would bless your word preached week by week up and down our country, that you will bless those who seek your face in prayer and urgently and earnestly desire your work to be revived and rekindled. And Lord, help us to walk humbly with you in the knowledge that you love us and you are good to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.